hope you can see. Recall what you saw on in Straits Times. I think this was yesterday. The fig tree is sprouting leaves and branches. And here is the Prime Minister of the fig tree. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, shaking hands with the President of the Palestine, whatever they call it. And in between is the peacemaker, America. These are signs of the times to tell you the Lord is near. If you don't want to believe it, it is your own business. But it is my business to tell you. These signs are sent to us not by chance. Will you come tonight? Why do you not love the Lord's day enough to come tonight? Why don't you come? Let me challenge you. That is for tonight. Now for this morning. The name of Christ, once dashed to the ground in China, has now apparently replaced the name of Mao. Some years ago, everybody in China waved a red book and say, Mao is God. Everything we need is in Mao. Today, no longer. Especially with the older age group, there is a sudden interest and upsurge of faith, seeking for invisible, non-material values, what we also seek after. Amazing. The report says, whereas 30 years ago it was estimated there were 2.5 million Christians estimated. There's no way of knowing because a lot of the Christians are underground. They don't register. Today there are said to be 70. An increase of nearly 3,000 times. Amazing. And what else will God not do for China? And it says 95% of those who gave some kind of indication showed that they had come to trust in Jesus because of a sickness healed. Amazing. This is the prelude to our sermon this morning. Please turn with me to the passage we had read earlier on. Philippians chapter 2. This is an amazing enlightenment. And it must cause you, stir you up, and provoke you, if not to challenge you. Do not live the Christian life, perhaps as you have done, callously. I just like to read from verse 7 to 11. 7 to 11. This speaks of Jesus made himself of no reputation. For when he came to earth, not born in Jerusalem in the palace, but in Bethlehem in a manger. You know what is a manger? Where horses and cattle take shelter. And there was the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, come to earth. Can you imagine that? He made himself of no reputation. Verse 7. Took upon him the form of a servant. So Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before, said, He will come. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and he will be born, and his name will be called Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. This is he. He comes lowly in a manger, despised. Who cares for that child? When he grew up in the carpenter's shop, who cares for him? He was made in the likeness of man. And not a handsome, dashing, mighty, conquering general. No. Son of a carpenter. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Imagine him. Try and visualize the throne of Herod and Pilate in the palace, and there is Jesus the prisoner, not pleading for himself or for his own interest, but there he stood in your place. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what is the death of the cross? How would you choose to die if you are asked to choose? How? Most people today will ask for an injection. Simple. Just a prick and you go. You don't feel anything. Crucifixion is the most painful, cruel, and agonizing death that takes hours for the more hardy ones, maybe a death or a day or two, hanging on the cross, panting for breath, and pulling on the hands and the feet, the nail prints, the nail wounds. Jesus died that death. Verse 9 says, Wherefore God also highly exalted him, because he was obedient unto death. When he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Not my will, but your will. Father in heaven, you sent me here for that purpose. What purpose? In order that I might die for sinners such as we are. To give them life, my life, to give to them. Thy will be done. Therefore, verse 9, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, one day, not yet, in heaven, yes. In heaven, you know, all the angelic hosts, all the time, there's no night, so you can't say day and night. But if you could use that term to express the non-stop praising, who? Angels. Are you greater than an angel? We are not. Angels are the mighty beings created of God. And there they praise Jesus. But one day, this is a prediction. This is something that will happen, must happen, and surely you can trust that it will happen. What happened? Verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, in earth, under the earth, everywhere, in the whole of creation, there would be only one name. It was said that when Napoleon was the Emperor of France commanding the army, when the army was losing or feeling the pressure of the enemy, once they heard the name of Napoleon, they all stood up victorious and fought through. The name of Napoleon. Napoleon died a prisoner in St. Helena. Yes, a prisoner. Jesus died and rose again, victorious. King of kings, Lord of lords, coming to earth one day. Do you believe that? If you do, live it. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amazing. Jesus Christ. This newspaper article I showed you is entitled "The Rise of Christ in China." What is Christ? Do you know? Christ is the word for the Anointed One. God had promised His people, even though you go into slavery, being captives, there is a Redeemer coming one day. Christ, the Anointed One. He is the one that we take name after, do you know? You call Christian? Are you proud of it? Do you live like it? True to the name of Christ. My dear friends, this name is above all names. The only name that God gives to us that we should adore. I want to give you three passages of how powerful this name is. Today you may not realize it, but there is record of history, record of holy writ. First of all, turn to the book of Acts. And here you're going to read what happened to the name of the risen Christ. Oh, this is a name that gives life and hope to all who are in despair, to those who are in sin, facing a hopeless future. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. What are we looking at? Do you know? It was barely 2 weeks after Jesus rose to heaven. And that was 50 days after the resurrection. So these are events that were not far from the crucifixion. Just about 2 months, right? The crucifixion was still fresh in the people's mind. Jesus, in the meantime, had risen to heaven. But then he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you." And this is what happened when he came back. Do you know that in his lifetime, there were very few converts, the 12, and maybe a few hundred others. But something was going to happen when Jesus returned in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after resurrection. Amazing day. Verse 41. What happened that day? The Jews who had just not too long ago cried, "Crucify him, crucify him, put him to death, we don't want him." Suddenly, verse 41 says, "Gladly received the word." What word? Jesus is risen. He's alive and he's the Savior. And we are the witnesses. Who are the witnesses? The disciples, fishermen, unlearned people, declared only one thing: Jesus, the one whom you crucified, is alive. Believe in him and be saved. One gospel message. Do you know they preach the same as we preach? No change. There is power in the name of Jesus. Verse 41, they gladly received his word, were baptized. At the same day, They were added to the church, the newborn church. How many? 3,000. We are so happy when we have 30 people for baptism, isn't it? Amazing. Great harvest of souls. On that day, the harvest was 3,000. How? The name of Jesus has power. Who gave that power? God the Father says, my Son is the Savior. I will send Him. You need Him. Without Him, you have no life. Physical life, yes. Father and mother gave you that. So Nicodemus came to seek the better life, the life that has no end. And Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So I ask you, dear friends, have you been born again? How can I be born again? Simply coming to Jesus. Take Him as your Savior. Join the 3,000 born again. Believe. Simply believe in Jesus. So that is the first example of the power of the name of Jesus. Can you think of any name today that is very powerful? For many years, when I go to Australia, you know what they tell me? Hey, send me your Mr. Lee. Australians are so, well, backward in the ways and dirty in their habits. He will clean up the place. We need Lee. Amazing. That is a name. Well, he can help us clean up our city and have a clean and green Singapore. Beautiful, isn't it? Good. Yes, for that we thank God. It's better to live in green and clean circumstances than to live in the slums and dirt and filth, isn't it? It is so. But don't get lost, because you know that Singapore's wealth has multiplied 100 times in the last 60 years. Did you know that? I got this internet research. It was fed to me. I'm only repeating what I was told. But the wealth of Singapore has increased many, 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 many times. You put COE, higher the COE, more cars they buy. Amazing. People walk into Sentosa and lose 26 million and come out still grinning. Amazing. We are living in a different world. Alright, second example of how this name has such power. Acts chapter 3. Again, it is in the book of Acts. And Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Acts of the risen Christ. That's what the name of Jesus is doing in China today. Acts 3. The passage is from verse 1 to 9. But the story is so familiar to all of you. There was a day soon after Pentecost. Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer to see what they could see. And then they saw a lame man lying at the poolside of the gate Beautiful. This man had never walked from birth, age 40. And he was hoping that someone would give him a dollar. What did Peter say to him? Verse 9. Peter said, you're looking for money, aren't you? I'm sorry, friend. Silver and gold, I have none. But what I have, I give you. Now comes the crunch. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you all have crucified and put to death, I say you rise up and walk. What happened? Would you like to try that? Go to Tan Tock Seng Hospital and command the
sick ones to go. Rise up in the walk. Verse 7. Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles received strength, and he walked. The name of Jesus has power beyond imagination. So that is second example. Acts chapter 3. So when the authorities came to know, they got very mad because they didn't like the name of Jesus. So what happened? They called them to the council and began to confront him. What does Peter and John say? What do they say? Did they say, "I'm very sorry now, we won't talk about Jesus anymore"? Maybe some of us will shy away and fold up. They say, "Oh yes, yes, please, sorry, we won't talk of Jesus." But listen to what he says. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. This is a verse that we all ought to know by heart. Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This man is raised for a testimony and witness that Jesus is alive. You put him to death, but he did as he promised. 3 days after he rose from the dead, and he lives forevermore. Almighty Son of God, God the Son." How well do you know him, dear friends? You come today to honor him, don't you? Of course. That being so, we come happily. Please, every Lord's Day, think. Why do we go to church? Why? How do we go to church? Happy, expectant, and joyful. Oh, this must be the only way. Now I would relate to you and recall to your memory the greatest of all conversions, the greatest. Would you like to venture a guess? What was the greatest conversion in terms of returns? Some are converted at the point of death and they die saved. Returns, nil. All their lives, like the thief on the cross. Was he saved? Yes. Jesus says, "Verily today you will be with me in paradise." Was he saved? Yes. How? By the name of Jesus. What did the thief say? "Lord, remember me." He confessed Jesus as Lord. That is enough. Because he was only a thief and about to die. And all he could say was, "Lord, I believe. Remember me." Even though you are dying, you are also crucified. "I believe you will come into your kingdom." How did he know? Holy Spirit enlightened him. He must have heard Jesus was the King coming. And he believed that saved him, but returns nil. I say the greatest conversion is where the returns are immense. Immense returns. Since you were converted, have you brought in anything to the kingdom of God? These are returns. Now I say the man that brought the most returns of any single individual is in chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 tells the story of the greatest enemy of the church in that time. One who went out of his way to persecute and destroy the church. Amazing. By the name of Saul. Verse 1 of chapter 9 says, "Breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Jesus, And he tore around like a mad dog, destroying the Christians until Damascus Road. Verse 5. And there Jesus confronted him, and the light from heaven that shone into his eyes, and he fell blinded, prostrate on the ground. Then what did Saul say? Verse 5 says, are you there? Acts 9:5. Who are you, Lord? Wow, he must be a heavenly person that sends a light from heaven and prostrates me. I'm completely beaten. I thought I was so powerful, armed with authority and letters from the chief priest, from the high priest, to arrest Christians. Now suddenly something happens. Lord, who are you? Now comes the answer. I am Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. How well do you know him? I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I have given you a very apt illustration. Why are you trying to play football with a durian, with a barefoot? This is what you are trying to do. Saul, wake up. Saul fell down. And the rest we know. He was converted into the greatest servant of Jesus Christ, and he confessed himself, I am but the least of apostles, but the chief of sinners. And the rest of his life, return paid to the kingdom of God. So I ask you, in your conversion, what returns have you brought back to the kingdom? The name of Jesus is powerful. And Paul became the greatest of all the apostles. Wrote half of the New Testament. Can you imagine it? One man. Half of the New Testament. Lived his life ever afterwards only Christ. Nothing else. Is there anyone here willing to give his life back to God, return life for eternal life he's given you? So I say, these are the returns that God can receive out of our lives. Now, how will the story end? Philippians chapter 2 is how the story will end. Yes, we all like to know the end of the story, don't you? The last three verses tells you how that story will end. Today the promise is Jesus is coming. Dare you believe that promise? Do you really believe that promise? I say, if you really believe that promise and translate it into action, many of you will give up your jobs. Pray to the Lord and say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I know it's very difficult, so forget it. But if God should work in your life, verse 9, the one who saved us, the one whom we serve, is the one that God has highly exalted, verse 9. Highly exalted him, who? Jesus, my Lord, your Lord, given him a name above every name. No name on earth. Not any great general, businessman, people who gave billions to society in charity. Great names. Rockefeller. Billions to society. But here is one name, Jesus. Because of him, we have life. And because he went to the cross, God the Father exalted him. Verse 9. Give him a name which is above every name, that in the day to come, and that, may I say it, please, that day is not far off. Tonight you're going to see the sign of the fig tree. What is the fig tree? You saw Mr. Fig Tree shaking hands with the Arab king. Right? These are the two chiefs. That is a fig tree. Why is the fig tree there? For 2,000 years there is no country of Israel. 2,000 years. They say it's finished. No, God's plan and God's word is infallible. Sign of the fig tree is what Jesus said. Israel is not dead that you think. Look at the fig tree. Ah, you thought it was dead, but leaves and branches coming out. Do you know that Israel's economy today is the most powerful in the Middle East? Exceeding all the Arab countries. Amazing. Fig tree comes to life. Now, verse 10. Jesus Christ will come to save that fig tree from perishing. Surrounded by 160 million Arabs who says no peace, no negotiation, no accommodation of Jews in our thinking. For all the Arabs, remember how Rebecca struggled, and in her tummy Esau was fighting Jacob. That's why the peace cannot be made. Today, Mrs. Hillary Clinton and Mr. Obama are trying to get them together. Please, be serious, be serious. We want you all to make peace. Will they succeed? We hope. But hope against hope, I don't see any hope of success. Why? Because this conflict is supernatural. I would say supranatural. It's above man's contrivance. It is not contrived by man. How can you contrive it that Rebecca says, what is the matter? My tummy is so disturbed. Every day something is happening. Boxing match going inside. And God said, you have two nations. That is a, so Mr. Obama doesn't know that, of course. Neither Mr. Hillary Clinton. Make peace. No. Except God comes and make peace. Except the Prince of Peace comes, there will be no peace. Now, end of the story. Verse 10. One day at the name of Jesus, this name that you carry in your name, you're a Christian, you carry the name of Jesus. How do you square up with that name? You wear that name, are you up to it? Do you magnify that name in your life? The way you live. When nobody's seeing, how do you live? Ah, this is the test. When people see you are goody-goody, when people don't see, are you still good and pure and holy? Now, verse 11 says, one day coming soon, so soon, I trust that you all catch the message. Every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow. Everyone on earth, under the earth, in the underground stations, he says, under the earth. Oh, those people traveling underground, working underground. In the mines, all of these will confess. Against their wishes, they will confess what? Now we know. Now we know Jesus Christ is the Lord. There is not Obama, not Clinton, not Mao, not Hitler, not Stalin. Jesus Christ. He is Lord. That day is coming. Verse 11. Every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no Lord other than Jesus Christ. This is our message for today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant us spiritual understanding to know the one who saved us with his own lifeblood is also the one who will come to claim our loyalty and our obedience. O Lord, may Jesus Christ be exalted in our lives. Even now, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.